I grew up listening to both kinds of music, country and western. That's a line from the Blues Brothers, if you missed. But I grew up on the southern shore of the Ohio River in northern Kentucky, right along US 23, which is known as the Country Music Highway. It's known by that term because the likes of Loretta Lynn and Billy Ray Cyrus, who grew up just in the next town from me, Flatwoods, and the Judds, who grew up in Ashland, they all grew up along this one road, US 23. So I grew up listening to the radio and singing along with country music and really began to love the different music icons of that genre. Garth Brooks and Alan Jackson and Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash and all these guys. And they were really inspiring to me as I would listen along and sing along. And we even had a rule in my house. There was no singing at the dinner table, which was just for me. It wasn't for my sisters. But I loved singing and loved enjoying and revering these music icons. And then when I was 15 in high school, I was able to visit Nashville. My mom had some business work there, and so we brought the whole family to Nashville, and we stayed at the Opryland Hotel, and we went to some live music and saw some of the different sights. And this was even more inspiring to me. I got to see where my legends, where my heroes walked and sang and got their start. So I came home inspired. I'm going to be a star. I'm going to do it. I'm going to learn how to play the fiddle. I never learned how to play the fiddle. But I kept singing and in choir and at church, and I did pick up the guitar for a few years and took some guitar lessons and thinking, maybe I'll make it. Maybe I'll reach the stars like some of these music icons. And I never did. I never became an icon myself. But their existence was super important for me. That they existed as an icon. An icon is a person who symbolizes something beyond their own individuality. A musician, an artist. They symbolize something necessary from every human heart. Our creativity, that our voices are made to sing, that our brains are meant to be creative and to do different things that would inspire. And so though I never became a music icon myself, isn't the point. That they existed and modeled and inspired something in me was something that made all the difference. And we need icons. We need musical icons. We need athletic icons, men and women who win Olympic medals and reach for greatness and inspire things in us that my body is made for excellence and to achieve. Even if I never win an Olympic medal, I won't. Even if I never have a Super Bowl ring on this hand, I won't. It's good that they exist to inspire things in me and in you. We need intellectual icons, academic icons, those who go on for many advanced degrees and write books and solve problems and cure diseases. Even if I never win a Nobel Prize, it's good that others do. Because they inspire something in me and they inspire something in you. And this is the same with our faith, brothers and sisters. We need religious icons. We need consecrated icons who have surrendered everything in a particular way. They have reached for the stars and they've obtained some level of holiness and devotion. We need them in our lives because they inspire something in me. That even if I don't reach the level they do, They pull something out of me and they teach me the reason I was made. Like Thomas was speaking up here. He shared that he was created for a purpose. And we need icons to show us what is that purpose. My voice is made for singing. My brain is meant for thinking and problem solving. My body is made for athletic endeavors. What's my heart made for? Religious icons show us what our heart is made for. It's made for belonging. It's made to be given away, that the one who made my heart is the only one who can own it. That God, who fashioned my heart, has a certain claim on it, that he wants to possess it. And the consecrated person, the priest, the religious sister, the monk, they model this for us in a very unique way, in a whole, holistic way, that they belong only to God. And that they belong only to God is a model for you, that maybe I belong to God too. Maybe my heart belongs in the hands of the one who created me. That's what I saw in our psalm today. I don't often preach on the psalm, but it was just dripping with some of this imagery. The response that you and I chanted back and forth, "You are my inheritance, O Lord." And then in the first stanza, "O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup, you it is who hold fast my lot." The consecrated person can pray this wholly, perfectly. The priest, the sister, the religious, they can say in a whole and final way, "Lord, you are my inheritance. I have nothing else. You are my allotted portion in my cup. It is you and you alone who hold fast my lot." The consecrated person, the religious vocation, says this wholly, perfectly. But they inspire in you and me to say the same thing, to reach, to grasp for that same reality. And this word in the English here, my inheritance, my allotted portion, my lot, if you were to take these English phrases and give the Greek translation for them, it has a unique word, kleros, the word that we get clergy from, cleric, a member of the clergy, a person who is consecrated, is the Lord's lot, is the Lord's portion, the Lord's inheritance. That's what we model. That's what we're icons of, that I belong to the Lord and he belongs to me, wholly, totally, perfectly. That's the reason we have religious icons. It's the reason we have priests and sisters and brothers, that they can offer their lives and offer their hearts to the Lord in a perfect way and inspire in everyone else the same reality. That I was made for the Lord. My heart was made to rest in his hands, to belong only to him, that he would belong only to me. That's what we celebrate in National Vocation Awareness. We celebrate these icons, these men and women in the church who stand in those high places, who inspire great things in us. And even if I never become a priest or a religious or a brother, that they exist and inspire that in me is necessary for the church. Some of you here will be called to be clergy. Some of you here will be called to be men and women, consecrated, totally devoted to the Lord. It's a natural necessity that each generation raises up these icons. But most of you won't. Most of you won't become priests Sorry. Most of you won't become religious sisters or brothers. Most of you are already married or in a particular vocation. But these consecrated ones inspire in you something necessary, that you would belong more to the Lord, that you would be his lot, that you would be his inheritance, that you would belong to him, and he would belong to you. And so I wanted just to invite you into a prayer here. Close your eyes, and I'll see if you're not, so make sure you're doing it. Close your eyes and pray with me that our hearts would be more devoted to the Lord, and that he would call some of us, even here in this church, to a holy, consecrated life. Father, we offer you our hearts and our lives. You've given them to us to be given back to you. We thank you for the men and women icons in our lives who inspire greatness in us. And we offer our lives and our hearts back. Give us the grace, Lord, to make a total offering to you, especially in this holy sacrifice, that our hearts would belong only to you and that you would belong to us. And if there are some here among us who are being called and drawn into a total consecration, inspire them to say yes and to give themselves wholly to you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.